This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
We bless you today in Jesus' mighty name. Blessings upon you and your family, upon your marriage, upon your business, all that God has given you, we bring blessings. We thank you for your time and joining with us here on The Invisible War as we study these most important matters. As we continue our study in Chapter 9 of Lies That Kill, The Supernatural Battle for Truth. These particular lies are the ones that I have seen praying with folks year after year, week after week, that the enemy seems to use as the seedbed for all of his other lies. Now, it would be impossible to write a book on all and every lie and scheme of the enemy. It would take forever and ever. He's had thousands of years. Satan has had thousands of years to perfect his evil lies. Jesus called him the father of lies. His main instrument of destruction in your life, in my life, in your family, and in my family is deception. He is the father of lies. And this particular lie is so crafted by the evil one that it is easy to enter into. It is easy for us to cooperate with this particular lie. And that is, since I have been hurt, it's okay to want revenge. It's logical, isn't it? All of us have been hurt. Everyone's been wounded. Man is born of trouble. If you've been abused, if you have been used by others for their selfish purposes, it means you're a human. You're alive. That's a part of life. Tragically, that is the world we live in. So all of us have been wounded. I'm not making light of your hurts. No, no. All of us have been seriously wounded, and some of us have been healed. And if you have been healed, Jesus did it. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And if Jesus has not healed you of your wounds, then your wounds are still unhealed. They're still there. Every alcoholic, every drug addict, everyone, they are trying to medicate a wound. The problem is not drug addiction, even though it becomes a horrific problem. We know that. We've seen that in our own family. We've seen alcoholism in our own family. It's a horrific thing, but alcohol's not the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. They are trying to medicate a wound. And I may be speaking to someone or someone's today, many who are still trying to heal themselves through their own medication. Please hear me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Only Jesus can heal of our wounds. As we continue our study, please hear the study with your heart today. Would you do it? Bitterness from our wounds leads to a life of blasphemy. To remain bitter is to walk in the shoes of a heretic. That's right. Please hear me out now. Don't turn me off. To allow bitterness any place in our lives is to act as though Jesus' shed blood was not enough to cover the sins of the person who has hurt us. Bitterness demands more blood. Jesus' blood is the full payment for your sins and for all the sins of the people who have hurt you. Stop listening to the lies. Jesus' blood is enough for all sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some years ago, while preaching as a guest evangelist, I began to offer prayer meetings after the revival services in the churches where I had been invited to preach. I will never forget a fateful night in Arkansas when God's forgiveness and love was manifested in a most dramatic way. I was approached by a new young father who was deeply concerned about the sin of his ancestors passing on to his newborn son. We asked the Lord to come and cleanse these supernatural attachments to the evil ones that had been opened in his family through unconfessed sin. Jesus faithfully met us and cleaned up the whole mess. Praise His name. But when I returned to the sanctuary of the church, I found the pastor on the receiving end of a verbal attack from a woman that had attended the services that night. I walked up to them and asked, "Ma'am, do you need to see me?" And as quickly as the words came out of my mouth, she fired back, "I sure do." I'm certain the pastor was deeply relieved that the angry woman and all her mess had been passed on to me. I asked her, "What's going on? Why are you so angry?" And here it came, like a double-barrel shotgun filled with acidic, toxic filth. She said, "The woman who destroyed my life, my children's lives, and my marriage was in church tonight. How dare she come into the house of God after she had had an ongoing sexual affair with my husband? Who does she think she is coming in here after what she has done to ruin my life?" I let her go on as long as she needed to vent. I don't know how long it was, but the spewing of her venomous anger took a while before she finally took a breath. She paused to see if I had anything to offer the conversation. I looked her in the eyes and I said, "You're so full of bitterness, I bet you can't even pray." I continued, "In fact, I bet you no longer are absolutely confident that you are saved." She sheepishly looked back at me and said, "How did you know?" I replied, "Because that's what bitterness does to our souls. It separates us from our Lord." Her open, festering wounds were so visible, I could see the volume of hurt deep inside her. I'm convinced, had she brought a gun to the service that night, there would have been blood on the walls of that church. I asked her if she wanted to talk it through. She said she did. We sat down on the front pew, and I will never forget what ensued for the next hour or so. I made the observation and asked her, "You want that woman dead, don't you? If you could, you would have her head on a platter, wouldn't you?" She replied, "I sure would." I looked her in the eyes and I said, "You're a heretic." She was startled. She looked at me as if to say, "What do you mean by heretic?" And I said, "Jesus' blood is enough for your sin, but not for hers. You want her to shed her blood for her sin. That makes you a heretic." That truth hit her right between the eyes. She took a spiritual pause and began to see her condition. Finally, she conceded, "Brother Rob, I can't live like this." I replied, "That's right, nobody can. It will only kill you." She said, "What can I do to get rid of this bitterness?" And I turned to James chapter 4. Would you turn there with me right now? The 4th chapter of James. And I asked her to read aloud the following passage. "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace, his gifts, to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. That evening, we walked through every verse of this passage as it applied to her wounds of resentment and revenge. Then I reminded her, Jesus loves this other woman as much as he loves you. He died for her too. I told her before we prayed, if our prayer was only about her and her wounds, the Lord would probably not even come into the room to do his cleansing work, to remove her of bitterness. If we are to expect the Lord to come and do his work, we must humble ourselves and ultimately desire what he wants to do for his glory alone. I asked her, are you ready to pray and get this evil stuff cleaned up? She said, I'm ready. I simply can't live like this. As we began to pray, I prayed first and asked the Lord to come in his great love and power. I acknowledged to God that what we needed to take place, only he could accomplish. I brought her and her family before the courtroom of heaven and asked if Jesus would be her advocate, her lawyer, as he promises us he would be in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I asked him to plead her case before God, who is the righteous judge. I continued to pray for a while as the Lord prompted me. Then I turned to the woman and said, it's time for you to pray. Just tell the Lord what is on your heart and what you want him to do. She began by praying for her children, as only a mother knows how. Then she prayed for herself, telling the Lord that she could not live with this bitterness that was killing her. She couldn't live with it any longer. All the while she prayed, I was praying silently for her. I said, oh Lord, please show her that until she can forgive this other woman the way you have forgiven her, this whole demonic system will not be destroyed. I prayed in my heart for her to see the truth as she was crying out to God. Finally, here it came from the depths of her heart. She said, Lord, would you do a great work in her life? Let her know how much you love her. Bring her to the cross of Christ and pour your love over and in her. In an instant, in a moment, it was all gone. After our tears were wiped away, her countenance was completely changed. The load she could carry no longer had been removed. Her life had been renewed. Her faith in the Lord had been recovered. And most of all, her intimacy with the Lord Jesus had been gloriously restored. She was transformed from a babbling, bumbling cauldron of hate and fountain of caustic bitterness to a powerful prayer warrior being used of our precious Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 12. Would you hear it with your heart? But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. It's a horrible thing not to be able to live what you claim to believe. A life of bitterness is no less than taking our Lord's name in vain. When bitterness is manifesting through us, in essence, we are claiming one thing and living another. The very nature of blasphemy is visualized through the life of the one who remains bitter. We must see the hypocritical disconnect. We must see it for what it is. If we claim to have received the Lord's forgiveness, even though we didn't deserve it, how much more important is it to forgive others when they don't deserve it either? Bitterness that manifests through our lives is like a cloak that covers the authentic love of Christ's forgiveness. Although we claim as our Savior and our Lord, everyone else sees something quite different. For many, many years, my family and I attended a cowboy camp meeting that is convened annually in the Davis Mountains of West Texas. This meeting and its subsequent campgrounds were founded by a Presbyterian circuit riding preacher by the name of Blois. For over a century, thousands of people who have their family ties to the West Texas ranches come to worship and fellowship around the things of the Lord. One afternoon, rather than taking a nap, like so many had chosen to do that day, I chose to attend the service that was held underneath the old open-air tabernacle. The Methodist preacher, one of the four preachers of the conference of this campground who preached that week, had been chosen to lead the service. The text for his sermon was Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Would you hear it? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. God spoke clearly and powerfully to me that afternoon through that wonderful Methodist preacher. He gave me a word that has forever changed my life. The last appeal of his message was, and I quote, "If you have been saved by grace, why can't you learn to be gracious to others?" Wow, what a word. What a word. I have come to understand that the litmus test of authentic Christianity is, in fact, forgiveness. Grace. The willingness to give as our Lord has given. Forgiving those who have hurt you the same way our Lord has forgiven you. I know I'm speaking to many who have been hurt. And you have held on to this bitterness. We're not here to condemn you. How easy it is to believe this lie, that it's okay to hang on to bitterness. But please hear me, bitterness will only destroy and defile you. The Lord wants you to break through. He wants you to walk in the freedom of His forgiveness. Would you forgive yourself? Maybe something you've done that you've had a hard time forgiving yourself. Would you receive the grace and forgiveness of the Lord? You know what love looks like? When I look at Calvary, you know what I see? I see forgiveness. That's right. To me, it's wrapped up in one word, forgiveness. You know, we can't forgive ourselves, we can't forgive others until we have received Christ's forgiveness. You know, you can't give what you haven't received. Would you join me in prayer right now? Let's ask the Lord to help us take this stuff and give it to Him. Would you be courageous enough to pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this wonderful time of prayer that you have given us today. We ask, Lord Jesus, that we would be put in the circle of your blood as we pray, so that the evil one would not be able to snatch away or destroy or pervert or hinder the work that you choose to do in our lives. Lord, we confess to you. We can't handle this anymore. It's handling us. We can't control our bitterness. Bitterness is controlling us. And Lord, we can't live this way. We're going to die. And so, Lord, cleanse us. We give the one who has hurt us to you. You do all things well. You'll take care of it. We trust you. We trust you. Forgive us for thinking we needed to tell you how to do your work. Lord, we trust you. You understand. You died for them. Oh, Lord, do a great work in their lives as you do a great work in our lives. We lift our hands, open up our hands, and receive the full forgiveness of Calvary for our sin so that we might be able to forgive others the way you have forgiven us. Lord, put a seal of your blood over the matter. Bring us into restoration. Restore, O God, what the enemy has stolen from us, from our families, from our relationships. Lord, if things have died, I ask for a Lazarus-type resurrection. I ask for the angels to go in, the angels of the Lord under the authority of Jesus, to go in and take the grave clothes off. I ask that those things that have died would come back to life in Jesus' name. And those, Lord Jesus, that have fallen asleep because the pain was so great, I ask in Jesus' name for a spiritual awakening. We thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, if you've prayed with me today, would you let me know it? Would you go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org? You can email me. Let me know of your concerns. Let me know of the victories. Let me know of how we can help you. We look forward to hearing from you. You can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We look forward to hearing from you. Do it today. May I take this opportunity to encourage you today. Wherever you find yourself, whatever you are facing, however desperate you may feel, God is greater than your needs. He is greater. He's greater in his knowledge than even what we understand. You know, God is greater than our education, our understanding, all our experiences. God is greater. Do you believe it? He's greater not only in his knowledge, but he's greater in his authority and power. He's greater in his abundant provision. What do you need today? I mean right now. God is greater than your need. Do you need freedom from the spiritual tyranny that has you in bondage? God is greater. Do you need freedom from the spirit of fear? God is greater. Do you need freedom from evil spirits and their confusion? God is greater. Do you need freedom from drugs or alcohol? Freedom from all sex addictions like pornography? Hear me today. God is greater. Do you need freedom from every type and sort of any other type of addiction? God is greater. You need freedom from everything that would come to destroy you. God is greater. He comes with life and life abundant. He comes to free us from the law of sin and of death. God is greater than our every need. We at the Invisible War Ministry are here to help you walk in the freedom of Christ. We believe you have a holy destiny that the enemy has stolen or is trying to steal. Please let us know how we can serve you. Please call today, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Or you can contact me through our website, theinvisiblewar.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Put your faith in Christ. He is greater than all of your need. Now I want to thank you again for sharing with us in this wonderful time around the things of heaven. Would you come alongside of us? Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying about your gift to this ministry. We are only able to bring this ministry of healing and cleansing because of your faithful support. Would you join us? Would you ask God how He would have you be a part of this wonderful ministry? Would you give as sacrificial a gift as He has given to you? Would you do it? Do it today. You can give through our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for giving. We look forward next time where we will continue our study in Lies That Kill, the Supernatural Battle for Truth. Right here, next time, on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.